This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, and I'm visiting today with some of our neighbors in Greater Two Harbors area. The folks from North Shore Horizons are with us. I have Director Gene Sewell. Welcome to the studio, Gene.
Thank you so much for having me, Leo. It's nice to be here.
It's a pleasure to touch base with you. It's been a while, and you've brought with you one of your board members to share the story.
I have an incredibly active and wonderful board right now that are helping us to do some fundraising and to make sure that we're financially sound and to help us make some programming decisions. And Tony Wangen is one of our esteemed board members who has been active with us for several years. I'm very, very happy to have her here with me and to introduce her.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you, Tony. I hope you're having a rewarding experience. How long have you been involved now? A few years?
Four, I believe. Four.
Wow. That's a good long commitment. Thank you for the work you guys are doing. And so, North Shore Horizons, exactly what is it? It's a nonprofit that's been going for, I think the history said, since officially as a nonprofit since 81. Gene, could you speak to that?
That is correct. The organization began in 1980 and applied for its nonprofit status, which we did receive in 1981. We started by providing some advocacy services for sexual assault victims as well as domestic violence victims, and through the years have added to our programming and added to our support for victims, as well as our outreach efforts to encourage healthy relationships, because we firmly believe that the only way to stem the tide of domestic violence and sexual assault and other violent crimes is to create healthier communities and healthier families, and then we can work at stopping that cycle.
So that kind of points to the fact that folks might initially think that you have a lot to do with folks who are in crisis and emergency situations, and yet you're taking a bigger, longer, more holistic view of how can we maybe have less of that crisis work to do a year from now, 10 years from now.
Exactly. And I think we've all seen communities put in efforts to beautify their community, to have more community events, and get neighbors talking to neighbors. And when we're able to communicate with one another, we have fewer conflicts and we live healthier and happier lives. So we certainly can continue to do the work that we did only, but generally we find that that cycle continues and the abuser just abuses someone else, and the victim, based on some of her own issues or his, tends to attract other abusive people. So if we can step into the middle of that, I think everyone in the community can benefit.
Words like advocacy, a lot of what you do is advocacy as well as interventional. Maybe you could put it in context for people. When are you doing advocacy, and what can you do beyond advocacy for people who are reporting sexual assault, domestic violence?
Well, we have a 24-hour crisis line, and of course people can walk in the doors, but which connects us with those who are in immediate crisis. And once we can talk things through and find a safe environment, then we can move forward with whatever the victim chooses to do. One of the things that people don't always understand about advocacy is we never tell someone what to do. Whatever their choice is, we encourage that. If they choose to go back into the situation they were in, we create safety plans and help them to be prepared should another crisis event occur. We offer services for abusers as well as for victims, because if we believe anybody can change, we need to provide services in all arenas. We also do some work with children and work closely with our local therapeutic resources in order to make sure that everyone's mental health needs are met. We also provide legal advocacy should someone need to do a harassment restraining order or a physical abuse restraining order. Then we would help them to complete that paperwork, file that paperwork. We assist them in getting the fees waived for that particular paperwork and help them through the court process. There are times when things actually do take a turn and enter a longer legal process, right? Trials and criminal charges, and we assist the victim and their family through that process as well.
Does that mean that you have access to lawyers who are a legal team that's willing to work without directly charging the clients or have costs defrayed by donations? I'm just wondering how does that all, we all know that legal fees can rapidly be tallied and be beyond any average person's ability.
Absolutely, and we see that a lot, not only in criminal court, but in family court, when people are going through divorces and deciding custody and visitation and who gets what from a material perspective. And that's one of our biggest challenges, because we do not have free legal representation for our clients, nor do we have any funding sources that allow us to pay for those legal services. However, we do have a statewide organization of attorneys that deal solely with domestic violence and sexual assault issues, and they are available to us anytime that we reach out to them in order to provide us with legal guidance and to help us strategize regarding how to address some of the legal issues that come up. And they are, although they can't be here in person and provide that one-on-one representation, they are second to none in their commitment and their skills and their knowledge regarding our legal system throughout the state of Minnesota.
Thanks, Jean. We're speaking today with Jean Sewell and Tony Wangen. Jean, the director, Tony on the board of North Shore Horizons. Jean, is it fair to say that when somebody has been in an abusive domestic relationship for a long time and they begin to really envision themselves making a big choice to get out, that there are so many what-ifs that there's really nobody in their life? One of the things is that people can be so isolated and they haven't spoken to anyone about what they're going through in any detail. So, I mean, even getting there may not be anybody to give them advice, even if it's questionable advice. So where do you begin to help the person figure out next steps?
I'm glad that you brought that up, because one of the factors that people don't always consider is that when you are in an abusive relationship, oftentimes part of that abusive partner gaining that power and control is through isolating the victim from friends and family, and often sometimes even moving out to more rural areas so that there perhaps isn't cell phone coverage. And so it is dual fold with the issues that come up, and that is learning to be independent if you're choosing to leave and not having that support system. And at North Shore Horizons, we attempt to be that bridge and be that support system until they can reach the level of independence where they can start developing new social relationships, as well as regaining their relationships with the family that they had lost throughout the years when they were in the relationship.
So people probably, whether or not there are children involved, people have the issue of, you know, those fundamental needs of shelter, food, and security, and you've got financial security is another question. It's almost like, where do you begin? I mean, each person's probably got a different first priority.
Each person has different issues. You know, initially, for a victim to have the opportunity to discuss their experiences without judgment is the first step in their healing. And next, and coinciding with that, is finding them a safe place to be, whether that be in a shelter or whether that be in a hotel room just for the night to provide immediate safety. And those are things that we can assist with. We also assess with them what sort of skills that they have. Are they employed? And what is their financial situation? And we have a very generous community that helps us from a materialistic perspective as well as from a financial perspective, that helps us to meet some of those needs in those initial days and weeks and months while the victim gets their feet on the ground. After we assess those skills, Nurture Horizons now also provides life skill classroom training, where we talk about food and nutrition and housekeeping and job skills. We have a whole six-week program once a week regarding job skills and how to interview. And we have some local businesses that have volunteered to come in and do some mock interviews so that the inherent lack of self-esteem that sometimes comes from leaving an abusive relationship, they can build that up in a safe environment and take those steps toward financial independence as well as independence from that relationship.
Right, as well as the person needing to bring up their own sense of value as they pursue these opportunities. There can be a lot of reasons that they don't feel like they have enough support to even go out into the world, and you're trying to reduce the number of those insecurities.
Exactly, to remove some of those barriers and to help them realize that they have value and they have skills that they don't even know that they had. And one of the best things that we see is when someone comes out from a very isolated situation and finds employment and creates those relationships on the job and gets that first paycheck, and it changes the entire look on their face. It's just a wonderful thing to see.
Right. And this community could use all the valuable assets, all the human assets that we have. And that's one of the things we lose when we take people out of the equation and don't even go in there to try to bring them out. And that's kind of what some of your job is.
Exactly. And one of the beneficial things that when you look at the whole picture, oftentimes we are working with people who are unemployed or underemployed based on their circumstances. And although we're an agency that provides service and provides free services, we're actually an integral part in supporting the economic development in the community by helping these community members become more connected with their neighbors, as well as finding employment and being able to fill some of those slots that are keeping our stores closed or having them close early,
right,
earlier at this time.
And what you're saying just now, Gene, about the tie between the work that North Shore Horizons does in our economic social fabric, it makes me think back to the last 2+ years where at one point everyone was thrown out of their routine. And for the duration, I'm just wondering how much more challenging has it been to keep the financial resources and all your systems in place? And are you coming out of it pretty intact? Do you have some shoring up to do? You have some fundraising that has to kick into new gears?
Absolutely. Our federal funding stayed static, but we depend on so much more than that federal
right.
funding. And even one of our largest fundraisers depended upon the restaurant industry and the service industry when we were doing Taste of the North, and they don't have the staff or the financial resources to
right.
help us to move forward and regain some of that financial footing that we've lost. And so we've had to work very closely as a board and a staff and come up with more creative ideas in order to find that stability that we lost during the COVID times.
Right, and getting visibility again in the community. It's sort of like everybody's coming out from under whatever rock got placed in front of them during this pandemic.
It's true, and you don't realize how hard it is, how accustomed you got to being under that rock.
Right.
And to have those face-to-face conversations like we're having now, and to go to those evening events and fundraisers and meetings, and to have those conversations that were so beneficial prior to COVID, there's almost a new learning curve to get back into the swing of things and to regain those relationships. Not unlike probably the isolation that comes in with abusive relationships.
Oh my.
You kind of forget some of your skills and you have to relearn them. You can, if you've ridden a bike, you can always ride a bike, but maybe not the first time you get back on.
Yeah, when it's very wobbly and you forgot that if I push here, this brake flips me over the handlebar.
Exactly.
Yeah. So speaking of that, you've got some public events coming up. You want to share, maybe your board member, Tony, share about what we've got in play in the coming month?
We do have three things coming up.
Oh, three.
And,
I knew of two, and, so this is exciting.
One of them is participation in the tall ships, the tall ships come, and providing some souvenirs that people can donate in order to get, using our building to provide a little comfort station for people to come in should they need to change a baby or to just get the weight off. Now, of course, we're not a huge building, so
right.
It needs to be limited.
We're in a 400-square-foot radio station, so you can imagine we could not probably provide much comfort, actually a little anxiety if anyone
right.
in here. But it's really nice to know because so many people are talking about how chaotic they're concerned that the event might be, and you're seeing the opportunity to show here can be a little bit of a sanctuary in a crazy, crazy event.
We're hoping, you know, I don't think anyone knows how this is going to play out. And
yeah.
So we're hoping that it goes smoothly and we're able to offer, yes, some comfort, some phone charging stations, some things like that for people to take advantage of. And, of course, the opportunity to donate and perhaps purchase some of the products that we have that we've had made specifically for
all right.
the tall ships. So
dedicated
so we're looking forward to that. We will have two tables, one closer to the break wall area, and then we are where the tall ships actually are, and then we will have the comfort station where the office is on 7th Street.
All right, so everybody knows that they can find North Horizons in a couple places, and that one might be a good place to get out of the fray if all goes well and this tall ships are actually docking and it all
right.
all the pieces fall into place.
Unfortunately, we're not air conditioned either, but at least you might be able to grab a cushy chair for a while. But our other events are connected with Heritage Days. Last year we did do a VIP seating event where we sell tickets for $5, and for $5 we reserve a spot on the sidewalk by North Shore Horizons with a canopy tent. We provide four or more, we're flexible, people, guests with lunch and beverages and comfortable chairs to sit on the sidewalk and watch the parade, as well as to give them a parking spot for the day. So we sell those tickets for $5. Those are available now at the office from any staff person or any board member. One of the things that Tony here has taken the lead on is to help the 4K walk run return to Heritage Days. And she has been putting in countless hours to make sure that that's a success. And since she's the base and the strength behind the event, I think she should be the one to share the details on that.
Yeah, I welcome Tony to tell us what's coming up.
Thank you. I'm not sure I want to be in charge or named as the in charge, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
It's always like that the first time.
Yeah,
you just gotta dive in.
It's our first time, and we just jumped in with all of our feet. And I happen to be sitting at election judge table with Cheryl, who is in charge of the Heritage Days
Ms. Sundstrom.
Events.
Yes.
And she told me that they no longer had anybody to facilitate the 5K. They hadn't had it in a few years now, so I just got to thinking about it. Talked with the gal that used to facilitate it. Talked with Bill Zwack from the Brimson Sisu and got some ideas. After kicking around together, we decided a family 4K might be a better fit for us.
Right.
And we could have it the morning of Heritage Day's parade. And then people would be able to come out in the morning and do the walk or run, whichever they prefer. And then run home, reorganize, and come out for the parade.
Still make it back for the parade.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're a little bit late getting everything together, and that is because of the tall ship. The DNR permit that we needed to use a part of their parking lot down by the break wall.
Okay.
Because of the tall ships, they changed all of their policies for use of that area. So we had to go through a few hoops, and it took some time, and so we weren't sure we could really go ahead moving forward with this until last week.
Wow. So the tall ships coming the first week of August is already making a dent, a change in how other activities may go on down at the break wall.
Correct.
For good.
Correct.
Or maybe not for better, but for
good. Yes.
Yeah.
But for permanent. Yes.
Wow.
It looks that way. Anyway, we got that cleared, so now we are again excited, and I am a bit apprehensive, but we're going to do this. And we don't expect a huge turnout this first year, especially since we're getting it out so late. But I've contacted people from most of the class reunions that are going to be in town and asked them if they want to put it on their agendas. We've got Facebook, we've got, you know, the North Shore Journal, and we're going to get the word out there as fast as we can.
So Tony, I'm not trying to add logistics to what you're doing, but is the registration going to be same day or in advance electronically possible?
Yes, we have a website on our flyers and information, and you can sign up there, but we will also be doing registrations on site.
And how early will that? This is on Saturday, July 9th, I'm betting.
The event will start at 9.
At event at 9, and so probably the hour before is people
the, between be 8 there. And 9, people can show up and sign up.
Are you preparing for the possibility you'll be surprised and it'll be a bigger turnout? For instance, are there a commemorative T-shirt to go with the event?
We're meeting today at 1 to finalize all of those details. It's been, like I said, lots of ideas kicked around. Not been able to actually move forward with anything because we didn't have the permit.
Got it. Yes. And you don't want to spend hundreds of dollars on T-shirts for an event that isn't happening.
Correct.
Yeah.
We will. We're talking maybe gift bags for everyone, maybe not do T-shirts this year since it's so late. But
makes sense.
There will be something. You'll have some commemorative for participating.
We like to say some kind of modest swag bag.
A swag, yes.
Exactly.
Swag.
And we've been really, really fortunate. It's kind of feels like we're going back to pre-COVID days in having reached out to some of our local businesses.
Right.
And they have, again, found it within themselves and within their means to become generous. So we have some fantastic sponsors. Cool. And I assure you, if we can't get T-shirts done, we will have fine replacements, and our goodie bags are going to be rather exciting this year.
I think a lot of runners and people who are not serious runners alike would find this a nice community activity to go, because this is pretty much along the shore of Lake Superior.
Yes, it is. It's going to go from the Agate Beach to the Burlington Beach and back, pretty much. We weren't able to find a safe way to make it a route that you didn't have to backtrack.
Sure.
But it's going to be stroller-friendly and pet-friendly, and you can take your time. We'll have a water station along the way. You can hurry or not.
And 99% of the time, it's not like it was yesterday, temperature-wise. It's going to be the coolest place around.
Yes.
On July 9th,
yes.
I bet. Yeah. And so I didn't want to leave the events without double-checking, so I can get a ticket for this raffle that's going to give me a VIP treatment on Heritage Days by going into North Shore Horizons to the office. And what's the address again? It's 7th Street.
It's 127 7th Street. It's a block up from the Castle Danger Brewery, which has become the easiest way in order to describe our location.
Definitely the easiest landmark.
Or to say it's the old fire hall.
True, too. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Then you'd be beyond my experience there, the old fire hall. Excellent. So anyway, Tony, what is the event at which this drawing occurs? Is it just not a drawing at a public event?
We don't have an announced. We have a time. The drawing will be a week in advance at 5 p.m. We do it in a public location and make sure that someone who's not connected draws the ticket.
But it's kind of a social media release of the winners. Okay.
Correct. And then we contact the winner. And oftentimes people are purchasing tickets and they would rather we find a family that can better utilize the ticket and we can go that route.
Okay.
Last year, one of our longtime residents, Lenore Johnson, was the winner of the VIP tickets. And if you go to our Facebook page, you can see a wonderful picture of Lenore and the fantastic spread that she had. And if you do see her on the street, she's already been in to buy more tickets. If you do see her on the street, you can get some feedback as to how the event went last year. And I think it was very successful. And there were a lot of people walking by saying, this looks fun. I want to get some tickets next year. So for those of you who have forgotten that you said that, we're selling them again.
It's a year later.
Every staff person and every board member has tickets as well. So just hunt us down and we will get you some tickets, $5 a piece or
$20 for five.
And we can't actually say that on the radio, believe it or not, because we're a non-commercial station. But my guest said it. I want to kind of turn our attention in the interview, Gene and Tony, to some pretty challenging issues that have been confronting the city of Two Harbors, going back many months with chapters in the controversy over Mayor Chris Swanson. And it caused me to think, Gene, has North Shore Horizons had any involvement, looked at the approaches that try to provide victims in the long-term legacy of that follows in the aftermath of abuse, have they looked at opportunities for healing that could happen with perpetrators stepping up and going through restorative justice approaches? Is that anything that you've ever, as an organization, worked with, facilitated?
Restorative justice is a fantastic program, and it serves a variety of people. And as long as there are two or more willing participants to engage in the process, it can be one of the most powerful and healing experiences that you'll ever go through that process. We do have an organization in Duluth that was originally just meant as peacekeepers.
Yeah.
And they provide a fantastic restorative justice program. And it's our position that when you have the best, when you have the experts, you don't try to emulate that. We will facilitate contact with that organization.
You do facilitate contact. That's
absolutely.
That's happened.
Absolutely. Yeah. And healing is a lifelong process. Anyone who's gone through grief, who's lost a loved one, realizes that they feel pretty good for a while, and then they might have some down days or some down times. And so healing is perhaps even a bad word to use to describe the process, because even when you feel better than you did the last time, there are still waves that will hit you, or things that will happen that will trigger some thoughts, memories, or events. North Shore Horizons is not taking a position on what the City Council does or what Mayor Chris Swanson does. What North Shore Horizons does is provide confidential services to victims who have experienced violence at any point in their lives, and we are there for them regardless of when it happened. If they feel that it will be beneficial for them to speak out, we encourage that and we help to organize that. If it's something they want to keep quiet and to themselves, we encourage that as well. We go back to what advocacy is, and that's helping you do what you want to do. And so although we don't take a political position, survivors that feel that they can help people in the community, that they can connect with the community, or and they can help themselves and their family members by speaking out, we encourage that, and we help to provide a safe place for them to do that. Nurture Horizons does take a position on not being allowed to speak at a public meeting. And for those of you who don't know, the victims had asked to speak at the public meeting and they were denied the opportunity to do so. There are some legal implications to that decision, as well as perpetuating that culture of shutting down victims because the topic makes you uncomfortable. And so I'm hoping that we can have good, healthy conversation between the community, between victims, between the professionals and the experts, in order to discuss that topic in a more comfortable way, because it's only by talking about it that we're going to keep our children, our grandchildren, and our neighbors safe. And so I am working on communicating with the council and with people in the community to talk about these issues, to step forward if they choose, and if nothing else, to find it within themselves to be compassionate and empathetic and take the time to listen, even though it might not feel comfortable to talk about issues like that.
Right. I think some people, because we had a special meeting just last night, I believe there was a revisiting with the council president bringing up the question, should we consider hearing from the Christensen family in the future, and should we revisit our decision to not have them speak? And there were counselors who still seemed to think it was a private matter, not applicable to city concerns, and then others who suggested it would not have made a real difference in their decision to request the mayor to resign, so why? And to me, I just put it out that the Christensen family was not just talking about what they survived 30 years ago, but they were talking about attempt at a restorative justice approach in which the mayor apparently did not follow through, and that spoke to the here and now, his actions as a public, when he was a public official, and that seemed pertinent to me. So,
and I don't disagree with you. And just dipping my toe in briefly in the political waters, character is part of the examination that any elected official goes through. Their character is something that we examine before we cast our votes. So even if it wasn't a current issue, it's still applicable to character.
Right.
And the meeting last night was a little disconcerting for me, because I heard several times that it wouldn't do any good And my kind and respectful response to that is, it's not up to us to determine if it will do any good. It's the person who carries the message, and it's the person that hears the message, and it's not up to outside individuals to determine whether there's value to their statement. And in addition, there's been a lot of speakers at those city council meetings over the past several months. And I don't believe there's been any scrutiny as to their topic or any scrutiny as to whether someone was worried whether they were going to tell factual information or not. And we further traumatize victims by not allowing them to tell their story. We send the message that it needs to stay quiet. And in this instance, it also sent the message that the people in power won again, and I don't matter. And I would like to have kind and friendly conversations around changing that narrative. Should things like this come up again, that perhaps you could reach out to the resources that are around you, the professionals around you, to understand the implications of what might occur, to access some of those state attorneys that might be able to help people like council members or public figures determine what legal implications might come with their decisions, in order to make sure that we are respecting not only victims, but respecting those that are accused of victimizing, and having compassion all the way around, but not sending people back into the shadows. And that would be my hope in the end.
So fear and anxiety is a basis for not hearing from folks, can be part of the problems. I guess we have a continuing struggle. It's just me observing. I was going to ask you in general about the progress we've made since you have been involved with these issues. If we are still wondering who gets to be heard in the process, how much progress have we really made in confronting and reducing sexual and domestic abuse and violence?
Well, I would like to look on the positive side.
Thank you.
And positively, we have organizations, we have North Shore Horizons, we have schools, we have counselors, we have therapists, we have neighbors who are better educated than they were 20, 30 years ago. And we have the ability and the heart to reach out. Now we just have to find the comfort. And I think the city council didn't, those council members didn't sign up for any of this when they ran. And if we can learn and grow from the situation that occurred, we can start to further change that narrative, to further bond people with one another, and to be more committed to helping people heal regardless of what their trauma was. So, no, we haven't come as far as we would like. The pendulum swings, and I think that's damaging to all of us when we are all or nothing on either side. And this is our opportunity. If we don't sweep it under the rug, it's our opportunity to learn and grow. And in reality, get to know one another better, become better friends. And the more we're connected with each other, the more we can keep our children and our vulnerable people safe. And that is my goal when this all plays out, that we will be a better community for this, and that we won't stop talking about what happened during this unusual time in Two Harbors, but we will continue to discuss it, to learn and to grow, and remove some of the divisiveness that has been part of our country for several years, and draw us back together, have conversations that we don't need to agree with one another, but we can hear one another, and we can hear value in everyone's opinion. And so that's my goal. That's a lofty one. And hopefully with the help of my staff and my board, we can continue to push that narrative forward.
Well, thank you, Jean. There's so much that you said there that's powerful and pertinent to the where we're at about the opportunity we have as opposed to the problems from which we might retreat. Opportunity for all of us, not just a group that we identify as them. They have to
exactly
change, but we can all be part of this as long as we're tolerant of our diverse opinions and that we don't give up on each other.
Correct. That's what makes a healthy community and a beautiful world, I think.
Well, I've had a long and interesting discussion today. We're going to try to pack this into a 30-minute bundle. Jean and Tony, I really, really appreciate your time in the studio today.
Thank you. It was great being here.
thanks a lot. That it was Tony Wangen and Gene Sewell. Gene, the director of North Shore Horizons. This is Leo Babeu for Two Harbors Community Radio.